things, my heart burns so much within me that it's hard to sit there. And I keep thinking about, boy, I'd love to tell them this and love to tell them that. And so when I get here, I get so overwhelmed that sometimes it's hard to get it all in. Sometimes I feel like one of those black holes in space. And that is, if any star gets anywhere near it, it sucks it into that black hole and compresses it. And scientists said, if you'd like to see a comparison, if Mount Everest was drawn into a black hole, it would reduce it to the size that would fit in a teaspoon. But it would still weigh the same. Well, I'd like to compress all of this and hopefully retain what it is and to be able to get it out. So I appreciate your prayers as we go through this. Real briefly, as briefly as you can, there is no right or wrong answer, because it says that when we are touched by Christ, we have our gospel. It's a gospel according to Rob. It's a gospel according to you. So as briefly as you can, what is the gospel in your eyes, in your experience? Real quickly. Just, yes.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
God is not who Satan says he is.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, God's power to save. And you know, we're not trying to guess the right answer. I'm trying to hear the testimony of what it is to you.
Yeah, I was like what I was before I met Jesus, and this is who I am.
Something happened to me. Anybody else? Real quickly.
God said to Abraham to take all of his family, all of his cattle, everything he owned, and leave. He didn't have a roadmap, but he listened.
Oh, he listened to God and followed where God led him. Wonderful. Anybody else? I love this. Yes.
Greater is he that was in me than he that's in the world.
Okay. Yes. Wonderful.
To me, the gospel is what Christ has done for me and what he's given.
Okay. And so you see the way you were, and then him entering your life made such a change, and that's the gospel to you. And folks, these are absolutely true. All of these are true.
Safe in the arms of Jesus.
Okay. All right. Joseph.
Through Jesus, I have a different life to look forward to.
Okay. That seemed to be a theme, recurring theme.
God saved me from falling off a cliff, and it shall be a better way.
Okay. All right. Somebody else. What do you see the gospel to be?
God is not kind of person that his enemies have made him out to be.
Okay.
Arbitrary, exacting, unforgiving.
Yes.
That he loves his children just more than what we love our own children. We can ever understand that, we'll understand him better.
Yes. Okay. These are wonderful and are absolutely true. Yes.
It says God's presence with me every moment of the day.
Okay. Yes.
It's the gospel is Christ saving me from eternal doom and giving me hope for that eternal life.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Just want to pump up. Yes.
He will never leave me. He will never forsake me.
Okay. Over and over he tells us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And when you look at these things, they're just absolutely true. They are exciting when you see that. And yet we're still here on this earth. We're still here. Now, we have a chance to study this quarter, the book of Galatians. I've had to present that in class. I've had to present it in lessons before. I've read it. I don't know how many times I've read that book. And thinking that I understood, and mostly from the perspective of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is Paul's definition of the law. It is often quoted by other people that we have no law. It's often quoted by us. Yes, we do have a law, but it functions this way and that way. Were you aware of the fact that the book of Galatians, all the books in the Bible, the book of Galatians is the one book that every reformation that occurred since the New Testament, every one of them started because of reading the book Galatians. Were you aware of that? I wasn't aware of it. And I went back and I looked at it historically, what's going on, and I kept seeing this theme. And Luther read the book of Galatians and started the Reformation. And Wesley read the book of Galatians and started a Reformation. And Calvin read the book of Galatians and started a Reformation. And guess what was at the foundation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Reformation that began there? Unfortunately, it didn't go where God wanted it to go. The book of Galatians. And I laid that book down and I leaned back in my chair and I said, Father, I'm missing something. These reformers took that book and their heart jumped inside and did somersaults inside their chest. They couldn't shut their mouth. They went out and began broadcasting this, and millions of people were converted. The book of Galatians. I was shocked. And it's amazing how we approach these books. So many times we have a certain set of glasses on. We have a certain agenda that we have that causes us, when we read that, to look at it in a particular way. And I thought, Father, please, take these glasses off. Help me to stand bare naked spiritually before you. And let this book begin to, for me to absorb what's in this book. What are the keys that unlock this? Because I know why I was studying it before. I had to stand before a class and I had to help them understand what I thought the law was. What a school bus driver is. I know what those things are. But I never had one time that I laid that book down and my heart burned within me. Now, I didn't blame God. I blame me. What has blinded me all of these years? And folks, guess what? Do you know what book of the Bible will resurface that will ignite a reformation that will take us right into the kingdom? The book Galatians. Holy cow! And all this stuff was blowing my socks off. What is this? What did Luther, that dedicated man who had every fiber in his body dedicated to God as he understood him, his religion as he understood it, crawling up those steps on his hands and knees, almost wishing that he would bleed so he could show God how much he needed to be punished for what he was. And what were the words that came to his mind? The just shall live by faith.
That's exactly right. And he stopped. And all of a sudden, his eyes, the blinders fell off his eyes, and he stood up. And where did he go? He went to that podium that had the scripture chained to it and studied the book of Galatians. Holy cow. So I looked at that and I said, Father, here we are. Once again, as an entire church coming back to read the book of Galatians. Why did they choose that one? What are the reasons that they do that? Well, I believe that there are so many things that are all lined up, and we've said this for generations, where the Lord is ready to come. But He wants us to understand something, because when we go and that light that goes around the world, He wants it to be correct. And like all of you have said in one way or another, the truth about what God is like. That is at the very heart of the book of Galatians. And so I have been just soaking in everything I could about that and what Paul was trying to get at. And I hope somehow some of that comes out. That Paul, when he wrote that book, he had caught the essence of what religion is all about. Now, I handed out to you the last time, or well, two times before when I was here, handed out a little study guide, and I want to use that as we go through. Some of you haven't received that. I've got a few of them here. Anybody remember this? I've got a few of them, a few extras. I don't know how many I have here, but we'll just... Yeah, okay. Now, folks, this is not something inspired necessarily other than through my experience. Yeah, could you pass that back, please? About, yes. Could you pass that back, please? This is what I use when I sit down to study the Word. Could you hand those back, please? I try to keep this in my mind so that as I study, I look at this to try to keep myself coming back all the time. And there is a magnetic north in studying the Bible. And if we can understand those things as we look at the book of Galatians and just keep coming back to that, we will understand these keys that unlock this book. And let's go over those real quickly. The Bible is about God. It is the one question that I constantly ask, and that is, what does this story tell me about my Father? It's about Him. Second thing, the Bible reveals the value God places on man. And what is that? That was weak. Priceless. That means you. Priceless. The Bible reveals the condition of man without God, which is what? Priceless, but lost. The Bible reveals the condition of man with God. Priceless, but saved. And the Bible reveals we are saved individually, not corporately. I hope that sinks in. Individually, not corporately. Then the next one will make sense. The Bible reveals primarily my heart. The story of the wilderness sanctuary. That wasn't about a tent. That was about Rob Shepherd. That wasn't about a house that they built with all these fantastic things to house God. That was about me. I'm that priceless temple. But also I have to recognize the reasons that the children of Israel went into bondage, went into slavery. I know that well. I know where this heart will go. I know how it goes after those things. I'm well aware. Their abandonment in slavery, I've been there. That story is about me and my heart, not about a stiff-necked, crooked people. Every time I look at that story, I hold it up like that and it's a mirror. My face keeps showing up. The Bible is about your heart. When you read it that way, Father, this is about you. This is about me. What are you trying to say? And the other one, which I think is really crucial today, the Bible must be studied in context. So, let's start with number 7 first. And see if we can understand just a little bit about the context of Galatians. We know without a doubt, it is the one book. They never argue who wrote it. Totally clear. And when we study from the Greek and look at it, the Greek text is called Nestle's text. It has the passage up here, but there's a line at the bottom of the passage, and there are just rows and rows of these little chicken scratching down below. It's called the apparatus. The apparatus says, we have found all kinds of copies of Scripture. All of those have been consulted, and these are the copies. So we look down there at the bottom and we see there may be 100 different scriptures that were discovered that they consulted to write that verse. Galatians has few of those. They found a lot of copies with Galatians in it, but very few variant readings. It's one of those books that came through, that was copied down, that came through pretty much intact. So we don't question the author. There are not a lot of variant readings that are there. And what was the occasion? Why was Paul writing it? To whom was he writing it? Secret. He said right there at the title, to the churches of Galatia. Who are they? They were, do you say it, Celts? They were a group of people that came down and conquered so many, they were absolutely barbarians. And you go back and you read those stories, and you see that these people had tons of idols. It overwhelmed Paul. And so when he went in there preaching that gospel, he walked in there and he saw God's here and God's there and God's there. It just overwhelmed him. He found one to an unknown God. Guess he left one out. Paul walked in there and saw all that. Saw them that they were desperately religious. What about? They were aware of their mortality and they had no answer how to get out. They were aware, but they had no answer. The future looked totally dark to them. And so Paul writes to them, telling them, I want to tell you about this unknown God. And told them the story of what Christ had done. Now, I've heard the story over and over. Why didn't the book of Matthew become the book of Reformation? Why not Luke? Why not John? I love reading John. This does not devalue any of the other books. They are just as vital. In fact, Galatians is like a great big spotlight that we spotlight back on those books to begin understanding more deeply what Christ was trying to get across. So Paul wrote to them. Do you remember what his reason was? Did anybody look at that? Yes! They were straying away. Now, of all the books Paul wrote, he wrote like 20, 21 of the books in the New Testament. I may be wrong on that figure. How many? Okay, thank you very much. And not one book starts out like this. He starts out with a panic. He starts out and he says, "Hi, my name's Paul. Look at this." He had very few things that he was trying to do to greet them. And what was happening? He said there was a group of people that were going around. And we can look. We can take Paul's arguments and look at those arguments or those defenses of what he's saying. Then we understand what they were telling the people. And so one of them was at the very beginning, Paul. And what does he say who he is? I'm a what? I'm an apostle. By what means? He didn't walk with Jesus, did he? He wasn't there walking that for three and a half years. He came on the show, on the scene later. Well, where did he get his gospel? Pardon? Yes. Something happened to him on the road to Damascus. And that was there was a lot of symbolism in it too, because Paul realized, I am blind. And he couldn't see on his own. God sent a man come and touch his eyes. And it said, the scales fell off of my eyes. Folks, it wasn't just that he was in darkness and he saw light. When the scales fell off of his eyes, what he said in Galatians is the very essence. If you want to take everything God said about what he did and condense it and give it a crystal clear picture, it's Galatians. He condenses everything he understood and put it in the book of Galatians. And he said it so simply, so to the point. And let's look at that for a minute. Let's open up the book of Galatians. And my glasses. Talk about a blind man. When we look at this book, he starts right out in the book of Galatians. He minces no words. He starts right in. And he says, Paul, an apostle. Now, he clarifies right off. So when we see him saying this, what were they saying about him? He's no apostle. He didn't know what he's talking about. He didn't walk with Jesus. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men. Those disciples, they didn't tell me about this. Nor through the agency of man. The church didn't send me. He didn't give me a message to bring to you. but through Jesus Christ. In God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, if we use that little guide there as to understanding this and unlocking the key to understanding this book, what has he included in this very first sentence? What does it say to you? Folks, remember, you got the gospel according to you, and you have ways that you're seeing things that I would love to know what you're seeing. Yes.
Included Christ and God the Father.
Okay, so here we see, and later we see the third head, we see the Godhead in this, is included in this. And what does he say about them? What does this tell you about God the Father? What does it tell you? And God the Father, why did he put that in there? Who raised him from the dead. Why did he put that in there? What was that about? What does that say to you about your Father?
He can raise from the dead. He can raise me up.
Okay, absolutely. He's got this power to do this. What else does it say? Anybody else?
He's all powerful.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What else does it say? Anybody else? How does it strike you? Who's behind this plan of salvation? Whoa! The whole Godhead is invested in this. This is not just a single thing. This is not someone trying to pacify a God. God is behind this. Everything that Jesus said and did, he says, I do nothing but what? But as my Father teaches me, as he guides me, every day he woke up and he went and he talked to his Father and said, Father, what about today? And that conversation between the Father and Son. Every event that happened that day. A man with leprosy. Why did he have the audacity to break through a crowd? It was unthinkable that somebody would do that. Broke through a crowd and came up and said, Oh Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. Who sent that leper? The Father. The Father was behind all of this. Who told that lady in that great big crowd that was jostling Jesus all over the place? Who told her to come up and to touch the garment of Jesus? The Father. He's behind this. He's the one who invented this. He's the one who's motivating this. So the entire Godhead is invested in this good news. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now remember, what were they bringing those Galatians out of? Idols. Everywhere. And could you summarize the essence of what an idol does? Why the idols? What does it do?
It takes the place of God.
John?
It takes the place of God.
Okay, in what way?
It misdirects the mind and causes the mind to think of things other.
Okay. That's one of the things, yes.
It's something a person makes. So it's
self-worship. Yeah, and so out of the thoughts of their mind, out of their concept of God, they went out and caught, as the Bible describes, they cut down a log, they do all the work to it, they overlay it with gold, and then they fall down and worship. The figment of their imagination. Now, please do not forget this key. This is crucial. One of the keys that unlocks the book of Galatians is that the heart of man is at enmity with God. It does not want it. It does not want to be there. But man, in his effort to save himself, will always try to create something that he can do to save himself. The rich young ruler presses his way through the crowd and says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he goes, and what does Jesus tell him? What does he quote? Pardon? Yeah, Jesus quotes the Ten Commandments. Every good Pharisee there stood up and threw their chests out and said, "Yes!" And what did that young man say? "These I have done what? All my life." And Jesus went to the one at the bottom that convicted Paul. The tenth commandment. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor. A knife went right to his heart. He had been keeping in form every one of the commandments. But not one time did he ever let that commandment pierce his heart. To reveal the heart of man, to reveal how desperate he is, to reveal to him that every effort to construct something that I can do to save myself. That's why Paul was in a panic. Some of them came through and said, "Paul's not an apostle. His gospel is not the one that's authoritative. Here, do what we've been doing for centuries. You have to be circumcised. You have to do these traditions that Paul is wiping away. You have to do something." When he heard that group of people that came from Galatians said, "Paul, look what they're doing in the church," Paul did not wait one second. He dropped to his knees and said, "Oh my father, what are they doing?" And he sat down and he wrote that book in a panic. Why? As soon as we hear the gospel story, what did Jesus say about sowing the seeds? Some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell among thorns, and the devil is there to snatch it away. Doesn't want it to go into the depths of man's heart. Do you know what my secret is? Do you know the secret of my relationship? Do you know where I come up with some of these ideas? Because I recognize and continually hold before me what this heart can do without Him. I search the Word as a deer that's in the desert looking for a drink of water. I search it as one who is lost in the desert, who has no source of food, and he finds the manna, and he eats the manna. Every degree I have All the knowledge that I have of Greek, all the knowledge I have of the Bible, gives me nothing. The only thing that opens my eyes is my desperate need without Him. When I look at that book of Galatians and I recognize the panic in Paul's heart, was they were producing another gospel, and Paul said, it's not even a gospel. There is no other way. Later on in chapter 3, he says, oh, foolish, insane Galatians, what are you thinking? You had all of these idols all around you, and not one iota of change, not one moment of hope did you have. I came and I told you what the Father did. I told you of what Christ did. And it was like lightning. It struck you right straight to the heart. Folks, as long as I keep this word out of my heart, I'm a dead man. I don't care how much I know. I don't care what my experience is. If I can keep this as some kind of form, if I somehow have fooled myself into thinking, it's the way I keep the Sabbath. It's the tithe I keep. It's the church I belong to. It's the form that I go through. That's what it is. And this book of Galatians comes screaming into my mind, no! Nothing in my hand do I bring. Nothing do I cling to except that cross. And now every time I see that cross, I see my face there. That's where I was. I was just born in this world. I didn't show up. I didn't see all of this thing and choose to do what Adam did, but I inherited it all. And that form of life without God leads to death. And someone else did it. And who contrived this thing? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Folks, when you recognize that the moment that I begin looking at anything that I need to perform to please my Father, and I look at those things and I see how good I'm doing following those things, I am exactly where those Galatians were. Why the argument about the law? Why the argument about the ceremonies? Because the moment I begin to set down a code, the moment I begin to legislate righteousness, the moment I set down anything that I must do, I have just thrown away the cross of Christ. I never read one book that told me how to love my wife. Like lightning hit me when she came into my life. I didn't run and try to find the code of how to love my wife. I didn't even have the kind of love that could love her the way she deserved to be loved. I didn't even know love until I met him. The moment you call codify a relationship, it stops being a relationship. The moment you codify religion, it stops being a relationship. We're going to get into this very deeply as we go through this. When we see that man's tendency, his heart, has that tendency to look for something that he can do to please God. Man's tendency is to do something to put some kind of robe around him to cover the shame of his nakedness. Man looks for something that he can do to codify so he can follow that. As long as I keep that word of God out of my heart, I'm in danger. There is no code. You can't do that. Then what's my guide? It's good for you that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send whom? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And He will guide you into what? All truth. And where do I get that truth? Right here. Paul looked at Galatians. It laid bare his heart. Luther looked at Galatians and he recognized it laid bare his heart. There's nothing that I could do in my religion to get the approval of God. Long as I keep that story of what the Father has done, as long as I recognize what this heart can do without Him, I have found the key to understanding the book of Galatians. Father in heaven, I pray that you will guide us as we go through this book. I thank you so much that it is here, and you've knocked on our door so many times to try to help us to wake up, to understand our true condition and to understand what you've done to remedy that. And to recognize that there is a sweet Holy Spirit who will never violate any of the principles that He's laid down in this Word. But you'll guide us into all truth. And Father, as long as I keep my heart open to the fact that your Holy Spirit can come in and to be my companion, thank you so much. Guide us in our studies, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.